My life was so busy. I had like numerous things going. I mean, I was running literally night and day. And I can remember being so tired, and I was exhausted. I mean, my energy level was low. It seemed like I could not refuel to get started again. And I was just absolutely spent. I didn't know what was going on. And I thought maybe it was a sickness. I thought maybe there was something going on inside. Maybe I needed to go to a doctor. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. All the tests are negative, but you just need to slow down or you're headed for a heart attack. And then I remember I went to another doctor. I had another doctor I had to go to for another particular thing, and that doctor told me the same thing. Started asking around to find out if others were feeling like I was. I thought maybe, you know, it's, you know, I'm busy, I'm doing things, and you know, I'm not one for simplified life. I'm one, I like a lot of activities. I like, you know, keeping busy. But then I started finding out that pastors, missionaries, church members, community leaders, everywhere I went, people were feeling the exact same way that I was feeling. That they were absolutely worn out. When I found this book, the book that is called Simplify, and that's from which many of the thoughts come from, but those thoughts had been gelling in my heart for several years. And I was wondering if maybe it could be that in that there are people who were like here in the room, you may feel that way as well. That may be where you are. So I want to ask you some questions like was already been indicated in the video. Some questions is, are you overwhelmed? I mean, is life overwhelming for you? Are you overscheduled? Are you exhausted? And by the way, just to let you know that no doubt about it, if the devil can get us in this area, he's going to certainly affect our spiritual health. Our family's health is suffering. People's lives are crumbling. And everyone is trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Why are we like this? Is it because of the complexity of life? Is it because of all of these other things? You know, we live here in the Bay Area. It seems like we operate on the principle of exhaustion, doesn't it? I mean, people rise early, they work hard, and they, you know, they go, they work hard all day, they go home, and they play hard all evening, and they drop in bed just to start all over again. That's kind of how their life is. Traffic is crazy around here. Everybody is so busy with so many things. In fact, you ask the average person out here, you say, so how's it going? Every one of them will say, busy. Really? Busy? Is that it? I mean, where do years and years of busyness really take you? What do they really do for you? I mean, what is it that when, you know, to think about you're busy and busy and busy. What about your calendar? Or do you have one? It could be that, you know, you're so busy, you don't even have time to write down the events. And if you do, this probably would be what your calendar looks like. This is your life. This is what it would be like. I mean, do you find yourself and you look at it and you're like, wow, I'm just getting tired of looking at the calendar. I mean, the truth of the matter is, all of us need to look at our life and where we are. There are times when we need to step back and just kind of look at life and look at our life and see where we are and see what's going on in our life. Are we healthy? I mean, are we healthy physically? Are we healthy spiritually? Are we healthy emotionally? I mean, where are we in our life? Let's be honest. Many of us have a cluttered soul, where our lives are so filled up with so many of these events that honestly we would have to say we're probably not too healthy right now. Let's take an example. Let's look at this bucket here. All right, this bucket, let's just use this bucket in another way. Let's look at it from a little different viewpoint. Let's say this bucket would be a picture of your soul, okay? And so if you take your life and kind of boil it down to what you are, your body, soul, and spirit, but let's talk about your soul, who you are, and let's fill it up. Let's say if the bucket is full, if your bucket is full, is a good thing, okay? And let me explain to you what a good bucket would look like. That means that you're well connected with God, that you know the Lord, and your prayer life is strong, and everything's going well with you in relationship to God. Your family, things are going great. You know, you're connected with your family. You're spending adequate time with your family. You're balancing your time. And then your health is good. You know, maybe you're in exercise mode, and you kind of keep up with your exercises, and you're eating right, and, you know, basically everything is going well in your life. So you'd have to say that you're running, we're running on all 8 cylinders. That things are going really, really well. That there's no misfires anywhere along the way. So that would be where you might be. You might say it this way, you're being the best you can for God. But then life comes along and we start complicating it. We start complicating it with along the way. And sometimes we start making choices with non-essential things in our life. Things that really aren't that important. It may be unnecessary things. Might be things that everyone else thinks you ought to do. And you know that you don't need to be doing those things. So your life starts getting this leaky feeling, and it starts to deplete as it starts going down and gets lower and lower. Now the question is, how do you fill it back up? Here's what the devil will do. He'll come along and say, well, let's just add more activities. Let's just add more things to your life. Let's get you busier. Because if we can get you busier, after all, you're going to feel important. You're going to feel like you fulfilled everything that you're here for. Quite frankly, we can fill up our bucket with all the wrong things. And sometimes I believe that believers, that's the problem. We fill up our lives with the wrong things, and maybe they're not bad in and of themselves, but non-essential things in our life can pull us away from those things that are critical to our spiritual health, our physical health, our financial health, our family health. It can certainly beat us and deplete us to the place where we become unhealthy. There's no better story in the Bible, no better story in the Bible than a story where Jesus had made an unplanned stop at a common house among 3 trusted friends in Bethany. He stops there, and he arrives on the scene, and the Bible tells us about this story of Mary and Martha. And if you know anything about this story, you're reminded of the fact that what happens is when Jesus arrives on the scene, in Luke chapter 10, if you want to take your Bibles and turn there, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus arrives on the scene, Martha greets him at the door. The Bible said, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, this is Bethany, just outside Jerusalem. He'd been out busy teaching and preaching and communicating, and he wanted to just go to a house where he could stop off and rest among people that loved him and cared for him and wanted to accept him for who he was. And so the Bible said that he came to a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Let's read on. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now, let's stop for a moment before we continue in this passage, and let's get the picture. Jesus comes unplanned, unannounced, to the house. Martha greets him, invites him in. Certainly you're going to turn Jesus away. Invites him in. He comes in the house. Mary, the Bible says, she's talking to Jesus while Martha's getting all the things ready. Maybe there's some clutter. Maybe the clothes are still laying around, you know, from the laundry. It could be that she slips inside to the kitchen and she wants to get some food ready, and she's clanging pots and pans and make sure everything's ready to go. She wanted to make sure that Jesus' welcome was a good welcome. And so she was busy about taking care of things, and I'm sure all of you can relate to that. I'm sure there have been times when someone unexpectedly came to your house and you wouldn't turn them away. So you invite them in, and while you invite them in, normally the men invite them in, the wives are back in the back trying to get everything all cleaned up, make sure everything's, you know, put away. We don't want them to see any of the things. Get out the trash real quick. Get the teenagers busy cleaning up everything. As they're trying to get ready, that's where Martha was. And I don't know, maybe Martha was clanging some pots, and maybe that was kind of a signal. Hey, Mary, come help me, man. We got to get ready. Jesus is here. And so she was busy about serving. And then as she's busy about serving, the Bible says, and came to him and said, Lord, does them not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come help me. All of a sudden, she was upset. I mean, she really was getting up, angry. I mean, Martha wasn't getting a clue. She banged three pots together, broke a couple of glasses. She wanted Mary to come and help her. But here was Mary. She was totally ignoring Martha. Let Martha do her thing. I'm not worried about it. Jesus is here. You find that what Mary was doing was she was sitting down talking to Jesus. You know, it may have been a conversation like, so Jesus, how's the evangelism trail going? Tell me about how many people turned to you today. You know, you can tell me. I mean, what kind of problems you run into? Jesus? I mean, always keep in mind, you know, what is said in Bethany stays in Bethany, you know. Tell me more about what's going on in your life. Tell me what's happening. But you know, the truth of the matter is we learned some valuable lessons here. Because Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But I want you to notice this. Every one of us can get so busy with life's details and stresses that we miss what is important in life. Here it was, Jesus was at their house. Mary was sitting there, but Martha was so busy with activity that she missed out on the opportunity to spend time with Jesus. And I would dare say that there's a lot of people, quite frankly, is very much like Martha. You know, we're so busy with things. You know, it's this and it's that. We have a Monday night thing. We got Tuesday and we got this and we got that. We got all these things that we're doing. And we're so busy doing everything else that we miss out on the important things. The Bible said that Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Cumbered about. That means that she was distracted. That she was being pulled down, that she was being pulled away from the things that she should have been focusing on. You know, we often give our time to good things while we neglect the best things in our life. I kind of see it this way. It's kind of like in our business of nothingness, we want to tell God what he should do for us. Did you notice what Martha did? Martha interrupted the conversation. She walked in and noticed she didn't say, Mary, will you come and help me? She walked in and said this, Jesus, will you tell her to come in here and help me? And you know, sometimes in our busyness, that's how we handle God. Because here's what we like to do. We like to tell God what we want him to do for us. And you know how we know we're overscheduled? And how we know that we're overwhelmed when we start telling God what we want him to do for us. In other words, when we don't have a relationship with God, the only thing we have for God is, God, I'm so busy down here. I got so many things going. Lord, what you need to do is you need to stop and fix this for me so I can do the next thing. And we find ourselves telling God what we expect God to do for us. That's our conversation to God. And all of a sudden, here's what Jesus is saying. Wait a minute. You don't understand. That's not what's important, Martha. Martha, you're missing out on what's really important in life. You're missing out on what really matters the most. And think about it. Did you notice she says, don't you care? Don't you care? How dare her? How in the world could any of us ever think that God doesn't care? We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who left the splendors of glory, who lay aside the garments of royalty, who came to this earth, who was born among sinful men, who lived among, who was beaten and rejected and crucified on a cross and was buried and rising again the third day. And how dare her think that Jesus didn't care? Sometimes we get like that, don't we? Well, Jesus, don't you really care? Don't you know that you know, our little league team, we keep losing? Don't you know, Jesus, that at work, I just can't seem to get those projects done. They're always riding my back. Don't you care? I like Jesus' response. Martha, Martha. It's kind of like this. Take a chill pill, Martha. Kind of settle down a little bit. Hey, Martha, you know, you're so concerned about fixing this dinner. Don't you know, Martha, if I wanted a full meal, I could take care of that. I just fed 5,000 men. Don't you realize, Martha, if I wanted water, I could make water out of a rock. Martha, you are so concerned with all of those things that I can take care of in the bat of an eye. But the one thing that is needful, the one thing Mary had chosen, the good part. The good part. Good part. Notice, Mary had chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, what's the good part? It's the connection. It's the connection with God. What's the good part? It's the exchange of love. It's the uninterrupted communion with Jesus Christ. It's really, if you would, the antidote for all of the rushing and pressures of life is to push aside, disconnect with the rest of the world, and spend time with the God who made the world. Mary knew it. That's the good part. Now, here's my question to you this morning is, do you know about the good part? And if you do, how's it working in your life? Really, how are you doing with the good part? Oh, I know many of you, you're busy with so many things. You've got this, you've got that, you've got all these other things. But what about the good part? What about that really which does matter? It's what Jesus is teaching us. You see, I'm convinced that all of us have complex lives because we've complicated them. At least I know I have. I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, God really, really got a hold of me about this thing. This is personal for me. This is for me saying, wait a minute, I've complicated my life. See, you know, some people, they're more concerned about Facebook and what someone says on Facebook than they're concerned about what God says in His Word. There's some people that they're so wrapped up in the tweet that if God wanted to send a real tweet to you, you wouldn't hear it. Am I right? Amen and amen. I can see the amens are thin. The amens are thin this morning. But you know, I'm telling you, it's the way it is. How good are we? So we talk about simplified life. I don't know about you, but I like simplified life. Like I said, I'm not inclined to be that way, but I'm working, and I have to really intentionally ask God to help me to simplify my life. Here's what it means. Simplified living is not really about more than doing less. It's being who God called us to be with a wholehearted, single-minded focus. In other words, what I've chosen to do then is that I've chosen to walk away from the lesser opportunities in favor of the few things that will matter in my life the most. Nathan mentioned earlier about the book that we read called Essentialism. Great book. It's about saying no. In fact, probably you will find yourself saying no more when you get serious about simplifying your life than you will say yes. You know, for some reason, people have a hard time accepting the no's. People have a hard time saying no. This week, I had appointments, had different things that are important, and I got a phone call from someone in the community wanting me to do something for them. It would have taken 2 to 3 hours. They wanted me to do something for them, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't. You're telling me no? I'm telling you no. Because what's important? What's essential? I'm having to learn to say no, and I have a hard time saying no to things. But the truth of the matter is, God is saying that there are times we have to learn to say no. And that's very, very difficult for people. Because if we say no, look, every time we say yes, we say no to something that's important. If we say yes to something not important. And what God is saying to us, I'm really convinced in this passage, is Mary, she's chosen the good part. She said yes to God, and she said no to the pots and the pans and all the other things that were so important to Martha that Martha missed what is important to God. I wonder if that's what we're doing. We're missing what's important to God. You see, I'm convinced of this, that so many of us clutter our lives, and that's exactly what the devil wants to get us to do. Fill up our calendars with non-essentials so that we won't have time to spend with the things that are essential, such as things with God. Spend time with God. All right, so we have a bucket that's running empty. How do we fill it? How do we replenish that bucket? Number one is time with God. There was no doubt about it this morning that it all starts with God. You realize that God's the one that gives us the time? The time that we have is God's time, not ours. I'm really, if you look at it this way, God's kind of loaned me time. You know why I know that? Because I know that one day time will be no more for me and be no more for you. And what I use, how I manage and use this time is critical, because I know that one day I'm going to stand before God and give account of how I used my time. What did I do with it? What were the things that were necessary? God says to us in Psalm 46 in verse number 10, be still and know that I am God. There are times in our life when we just have to say, you know, I just have to step back and be still and let God be God in my life. And by the way, that is not at a church service. That's you individually, whether you find a chair over in a corner, whether it's on the back porch, whether it's somewhere at a corner booth, at a coffee shop, whatever that is, a time when you get along with God and you say, God, I want you to be God, and I don't want any other distraction. I just want to focus on you. We turn off our reminders, we turn off our texts, we turn off everything, we put on airplane mode, and we say, God, you be God. I'm going to tell you, it's the game changer. That time with God is a game changer. It is so critical, it's so important, it is so monstrously important that if you don't do it, the devil's got you right where he wants you. If you spent no time with God this week, the devil's got you right where he wants you. That's exactly where he wants you. You say, I don't have time. Yes, you do. You got time. It's just what you use it for. The Bible says we need to have time with God. There's no doubt about it. But second of all, we need time with family. How many of you agree with me? Families are falling apart because we don't spend any time with them, right? We need time with family. I mean, I'm talking about filling my bucket back up, the time with God. And by the way, all three of these are centered around my relationship to God. So if my time with God would be so important, that it will also build up my time with my family. That is critically important. God has blessed me, and for everybody, your family's different. God has blessed me. We have two children and a daughter-in-law, and that's the time. That's my family, and I spend time with them. I try to develop relationships with them. I want that to be a growing relationship. I want that to be solid, and that fills my bucket, if you would. That fills me up, and God says that not only that time with him, but that time with family is important. That'll fill up the bucket, if you would. But then thirdly, there's the one that all of us like, and that's time for rest. We all need time for rest. You can always tell if a person hasn't had much rest when they start getting real grouchy. Amen? You know what I mean? No rest. Now, let me tell you what rest, and by the way, I've had this. Man, I have it. I struggle with it. I've struggled with it a few times. I tell you, it's really bad when I don't have rest, when I don't want to have anything to do with anybody, because I love people. But when I just say, I don't want to see another church member. I don't want to see another person. I don't want to see anybody. I just want to go out in a hole and hide, you know? And it has nothing to do with you. It's just, I'm tired. You know what I'm saying? Anyone ever felt that way? Yeah. You know, you're just tired. Some of you say, I don't want to see another computer. I don't want to see another phone. I mean, you just get like that, right? We all get like that. That's when it's time to get some rest. Now, rest looks different in different ways. Some people, you know, I've heard of some people that they like to rest like working in the yard. That's rest for them. I'm like, ugh. Come over and rest in my yard if you want, okay? You know what I'm saying? Some people like working in the yard. That's rest for them. Some people like sleeping. I think we need sleep. No doubt about it. Some people like music. Some people like sporting events or maybe, you know, exercising. Whatever it is. People like, I mean, whatever makes you rest. Because I don't believe that we are robotic and machines. We're human beings. And we need rest. And I'm going to be honest with you. The reason why that many of us make foolish decisions is because we have not rested. I know there are many times when we make decisions that just get us away from the things that are essential, away from the things of God, because we've run so much and we're so busy and we're doing this and we're doing that. We have no time to think, no margin where we can work in such a way that would allow us the privilege to be able to sit down and say, okay, if I do this, if I decide this, if I decide that, that's going to affect this, that, and we do. So basically what I'm saying is we don't make priority decisions, we make on-the-fly crazy decisions. We've all been there. So what does your bucket look like? How cluttered is your soul? I was thinking, you know, your soul is, I guess you could say you can liken it. It's not a good illustration, but it might work like this. You know, we need to unclutter our soul like we unclutter our closet sometimes. Anyone have a cluttered closet? You know, I see every now and then I'll see those things, you know, come and we'll renovate your closet, you know, and they'll show a cluttered closet and they'll show one that's fixed up where there's no clutter. And you can pay someone $10,000, they'll come in and redo your closet. But the idea of the uncluttering of the closet is getting rid of the things that you don't wear, or the things you can't wear, or the things you don't want to wear. And put new things in it. reorganize. That's the whole idea of uncluttering your soul. Getting out those things that really do not matter that much. And Jesus says, when you begin to unclutter your soul, I'm going to show you what rest is. And he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We're not talking about physical rest. We're talking about emotional, spiritual rest. The reason why so many of us are worn out is because we don't have spiritual rest, because we are so busy exerting all our energies on everything else. And when it comes time to invest in our spiritual life, there's nothing left. I challenged our staff. I said, look, guys, we're going to really focus on what's essential in the ministry. The book Essentialism helps us to focus on that. These things we're looking at, because for so long, we can have so many things pull us away from it. Hey, we got to pull back and say, wait a minute. The things that are essential are the things that we're trying to focus on right now. We have to unclutter, if you would, the ministry in some ways. And so often we have to unclutter our lives so that we can invest in the good part. Let me ask you this. What are you investing in? Is it the good part? Now look, the good part starts the moment we receive Christ as our Savior. When we call upon Him, we ask Him to be our Savior. We ask Him to be our Lord. What a difference that makes. But then we make a choice. I need to simplify my life. I need to simplify my calendar. And when we do, then we'll be like Mary. I'm going to tell you what, at the end of the day, when that was all said and done in that story, Mary went to bed rested, relaxed, and full of the blessing of God in her heart. And Martha went to bed absolutely exhausted, with no energy, and with no joy, because she missed the most important thing. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, what about you today? What is it that God is speaking to you about?